Good morning, everyone. So I'm so glad you came today because I have the best news ever. It's just profound news that God, who created us, came to this earth in the form of Jesus, and that Jesus showed us how to live, and that at the hands of unscrupulous people, they killed him, but death could not hold him. And he was raised from the dead. And that's good news, but the even better news is he invites all of us to come to him. And he says, for those in Christ Jesus, just as I died and was buried and rose again, you will have the same experience. Death no longer has its hold on us. Death has been swallowed up in victory, and that is for each one of us. Now, how's that for good news? And I think maybe as we begin today, at least my part of the service, I think we should just kind of stop for a moment and stand up where we are and greet one another and share with each other the best news ever. Let's do that. Thank you for being here today. And thank you for sharing this wonderful news that we will all experience together. Now, even after saying all of this, and for many of us here, maybe all of us here, we believe in this great statement that Jesus made, proved it over and over again. And in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they repeat this story. But to me, what's interesting is many of our scholars believe that the Gospel of Mark is the gospel in which Matthew and Luke really based their writings, called the Synoptic Gospels. And Mark's gospel is a quick gospel in the sense that you'll find that word over and over again, quickly, quickly. But the theme in Mark's gospel is, do you believe this? And in Mark chapter 6, after Jesus was in his hometown for a while and people had been following him and they've noticed the great miracles that he had done, after being with them, here's what he said. I am amazed at your lack of belief. I'm amazed, he said, at your lack of faith. And Mark's gospel really includes even the people who were closest to him, his hometown, his family, but most specifically, his followers, his disciples, those who were close to him. Why wouldn't even his own disciples believe that Jesus could conquer death? Especially after witnessing Jesus raising people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. In fact, in Mark's gospel, we don't have time to go deep into it at all. I'll just touch on it. In chapter 4 and chapter 5, there's event after event after event after event where Jesus is ministering to people. The first story is they're on this boat, and many of us know the story, and a wicked storm comes up that even experienced fishermen were terrified. Jesus was fast asleep in the boat. He wakes up. And he is amazed at their lack of belief, that even though Jesus was with him, somehow the storm overwhelmed them. Aren't we glad that never happens to us, that the storms of life overwhelm us, even though Jesus lives in us? Do we really believe? And Jesus stands up, and he tells the wind to stop. He tells the waves to calm. And they do. You'd think they believe. And then following that event, they get out of the boat. And of all places, they land in a cemetery. And as they are entering into the cemetery, a man who is possessed with demons comes running up to Jesus. And the demons recognize Jesus. And Jesus cast out the demons in this man's life. And then the man is whole and healed, and the disciples are jaw-dropped. Why do you not still believe? And then the third story is Jesus begins teaching, and there's a woman who was completely ill. In fact, in Luke's gospel, not in Mark's account, but in Luke's gospel, it says the crowds were crushing Jesus, wanting to touch him. And a woman just reaches out and touches Jesus, and she's immediately healed. Her illness is gone. And then from that event, they hear that a young girl had died. And so Jesus goes into the room and gets everybody outside of the room. And a few minutes later, Jesus walks out of the room with this girl walking and very much alive. Event after event after event after event. And Mark is presenting to us this wonderful story that even though Jesus died, he comes up out of the grave just like he said he would, but they're troubled and they can't fathom that even though he is able to raise people from the dead, and even though he talked about the fact that he would die, it was too much for them to grasp. So a couple of scriptures if you want to follow along. All of this is in Mark's gospel, and it's kind of a repetition. So in Mark chapter 8, Jesus begins saying some things about what's going to happen to him. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. And I know this is rather familiar, but the one thing I want to point out before we read this is that this isn't the first time Jesus talks about this. In fact, after Jesus was raised from the dead, he said, "Don't you remember everything that Moses said about me? That the prophets, that all the prophets said about me? That the Psalms talked about me? That this was going to happen to me?" And so Jesus is just repeating to his disciples what they already had heard before. But it was too much. And so he says this. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man, that's the phrase that Daniel used, Son of Man meaning the Messiah, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He rebuked Peter because Peter was upset that Jesus was going to die. But didn't he hear what Jesus said? Here's what's going to happen to me. And that after 3 days, I will rise again. Somehow that just didn't work. He couldn't grasp that. That was too much for them to grasp. Well, if that was just the only time it was said, you'd think, okay, but Mark is making it clear. So that was Mark chapter 8, if you would, Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And Jesus talks about this again. Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 32. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He wanted some time with them. And he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise." Well, that's good news. But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. And then, if you would, Mark chapter 10. Mark makes it again pretty clear what's happening. Verse 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them three times what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him." And 3 days later, he will rise. He's going to put the end to death. Death will die on that third day. He will come to life, replacing the guilt that was upon him not only for all people's sins, but for our sins and sins that will ever be committed. And he invites all people to come to him to remind us of the greatest news ever. Death is not the end. And that Mark talks about this constantly, as does Paul and John. In fact, Paul makes it rather clear that the very Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us. But it was too much for them to grasp. So if you would, I just want to finish out this brief sermon today by looking at the last chapter in Mark, where this story is repeated and it demonstrates exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. I love Mark's gospel. He just makes it rather clear for all of us. So in Mark chapter 16, after his death, and then of course he's buried. So in Mark chapter 16, in verse 9, this is the third day, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. I'm going to stop. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I recommend it. Someday, on this very day, this resurrection day, this Easter day, I would encourage you, if you haven't already done it, to do exactly what Mary did, to get up early and to sit and to experience Jesus sitting beside you. Because that's exactly what's true. At the moment we close our eyes and die, that you'll open your eyes and you will see the face of Jesus. You can experience it even now by doing this on Easter day. Early in the morning, Jesus rose and he appeared. He's appearing to us always. But on Easter, it's so real. And then it says, so because of this, because she sees Jesus, she went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they said, that's the best news ever. But if you're reading in the scripture, it says they did not believe it, even though it had been repeated so many times. So afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form. This is when he's walking along on the road to Emmaus with two other people. And while they were walking in the country, these returned and reported to the rest that they had been with Jesus, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. It's quite a remarkable story of Jesus coming from the grave, this seeing him. But maybe Jesus also recognized the fact that it's going to be difficult for people to grasp this, even though they have seen people come back. So when he was raised from the dead, and this is not really a well-known story, and I'd love to hear the story, and maybe someday when we get to see Jesus face to face, he'll tell us this story. I want you to notice with me, in Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 50, this is a remarkable and not a well-known story, that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it wasn't only he that came out of the grave. Watch this. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. And the tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came up out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection, and they went into Jerusalem and they appeared to many people. I want to know more about that story. You died. I was at your funeral. I don't know, but I'm alive now. And it's this repetition of, please, Jesus is saying, will you please believe this good news? Now, you may have noticed at the very beginning when the scripture was read to us by Julie, Mark makes it clear. It's subtle, but he makes it clear. Jesus begins teaching and he says, repent and believe the good news. Believe. Believe the good news. Do we really believe? And I suspect for most of us here today, yes, we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Yes. And the good news is he's coming back, and we believe that too. But the real question is, and maybe because I'm talking to a group of real kind people, we don't really think about ourselves, we think about others. But be selfish for a moment and think, when you breathe your last breath, are you going to be fearful? Or are you going to say, I know, I've got some good news waiting for me? Because when I close my eyes in the split second, in the twinkle of a moment, I will open my eyes, and there I will see not only Jesus, but all those that I haven't seen in such a long time, whether it be a child, whether it be a loved one, a husband or wife, whether it be a father or a mother, whether it be a great grandparent, whether it be the best friend. We have the best news. So why do we fear? Why are we afraid? Can't we just believe?